Can everybody multitask?
Yes.
Yes.
This one, the way he asked this question, I'll ask it, but I'm probably just going to have to give you the answer. From the sidebar notes, briefly explain how allowing a child to progress into his or her new and expanding world in an orderly fashion enhances learning.
Back again, come forward.
Briefly explain how allowing a child to progress into his or her new and expanding world in an orderly fashion enhances learning. It's from the sidebar notes, which if you didn't read your chapter, you probably...
So we wouldn't have...
If you don't make those decisions, you have freed your mind, so if it happens, you're still going to be... Sort of. I don't have a book, but I don't have a plan working out. If you don't have boundaries, you'll always be kicking your head and grasping for more. There is a scripture in Proverbs that says, you know, or actually in Ecclesiastes, it says, you know, let your eyes be satisfied with what they have, what's in front of them.
Actually, there's a verse in Proverbs that said the eyes are never satisfied with seeing.
Right. So, yeah, but in Ecclesiastes, too, it says, let your eyes be satisfied and not always looking, you know, ahead. And that's what that happens when we, I know that's what happened with me. I wasn't so concerned about here, therefore I hated school. I was always out there. But out there, never I could grasp.
So
and it wasn't orderly.
Training your child to focus on the here and now. That's good.
Right.
Since learning takes place in progressive stages, training should too. Moving too quickly through the early stages can prevent the child from gaining the ability to associate right meanings with new experiences. If the process is not gradual but fast, the child may not learn as much in the categories of learning, basic skills, academics, and moral development. The reason I asked that question, even though you know some of you don't have a book, is because it kind of ties into what is implied by the phrase, parenting outside the home. And that, I knew, was on the video. So someone explain what you think he meant by parenting outside the home.
I had an illustration with the kids one time where I had a rope, and basically the length of the rope represented choices, from the very fundamental choices to the choices that would go all the way up through high school and so forth. And so I explained to him that, you know, Daddy, you know, eventually, by the time you go home, Daddy'd like to give you all this rope, and so right now, I want you to hold on to this end, and this is how much you have. And if you're good with that, then Daddy wants to give you a little more, but if you can't be responsible with that much, then Daddy's got to pull the rope back in. So I think that's kind of...
Yeah, very similar. Sure. Very similar. That's good.
I got a big one.
To me, the funnel is like the tornado. Inside the funnel, it's usually the cause. And outside the funnel means, to me, would be the world. We can't let our children learn from the world. We have to learn, teach them from inside, where there's peace and safety and
kind of like the iron curtain.
Yeah, the core values of life are inside this funnel. And if we allow them to pick up the world's way of doing things, that is the worst thing we can give to our kids.
There might be something actually even worse than that, because they're not morally ready, and because some of us have situations where our children really aren't in the world. If they're not learning from us inside the funnel, the only other person they can learn from is themselves, which produces wives in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So they are learning. They're learning to make choices, but they're not learning maybe the weight or the consequences of what their choices mean. You know, so the reason they don't have the freedom to make the choices is because they don't even comprehend how, you know, at that age, there's not enough development within their, you know, thinking it through. So anyway, I agree with what you're saying, except because, at least we do, I mean, we've got our children in a sheltered environment, but they can still be outside the funnel. It's just that they're not learning from the world.
They are. Every time they play a video game or every time they play something outside of your control,
mm-hmm.
they're being exposed to the world.
Right.
And
well, and in that
cartoon,
sense,
a cartoon,
right.
movie, Disney,
you're right.
whatever.
And in that sense, they are. I
yeah.
mean, I was thinking more the
right.
physical, tangible world, but anything
right.
that the world produces,
right.
you're right, they can
exactly.
learn from. Absolutely. So anybody else want to add? You? No? So essentially, we don't want to give them a freedom of choice until they can handle a choice. And do you remember when he said might be the most appropriate time to know that they're ready to handle a choice?
When they can handle not having any choice.
When they can handle not having one.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they're content with what they have,
right.
then you can trust them.
If that never happens, there's no choices.
Limited choices. Right.
The one that struggles with that.
I don't know if that is going to happen.
I was watching that. Just, you know, I need to pull the rope back, but you know, my question would be, if I was sitting there, my question for the group would be, the second time, but you know, what does that look like to not? You know, where do you find the balance when you start to? You start to minister just correction in that because of a mistake that I made, not necessarily because of one they really made,
mm-hmm.
because it was an apparent mistake.
You're talking about giving them too many choices?
Yeah. And so how do you pull the reins back and still not? I like what the one lady had. That said, I think she got lopsided by taking everything away. I think there's got to be a balance there, but how do you establish? I guess you go back to
right.
Well, it doesn't matter if there's a choice or not.
Right. The essential thing that you're trying to teach them is yielding. You're trying to teach them submission,
mm-hmm.
because you want to train them to have a heart that understands and yields to authority. So choices is the perfect way to illustrate, you know, where their heart is at. If in the morning, you know, like he said, or any time throughout the day, you give them something without giving them a choice, and they're not accepting what they're giving you,
they reject it.
Right. And you have to get, you know, use your authority to say, no, you don't have a choice. This is what I'm giving you. Now, if they accept that, then their heart is yielding to your authority. And that's what you want to see. Because you think about, you know, one of the things he said, you know, what happens 20 years down the road to a generation of people who have too many choices, even in marriage? You know, I don't know if that's what he meant by, you know, I don't really like this one anymore. I'll take this one.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, divorce rate is astronomical.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, no, this is the one you were given, you know, and so training a child up in that way to be content, number one, with what you have, and the other thing is to have a heart that's yielded to the authority that says, this is what I'm giving you, you don't have a choice. You know, not to say there won't ever be a choice, but a heart that's willing to yield to authority.
What do you do with a child that says, okay, I'm just not going to eat?
Then they don't eat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they do.
I know.
David. Yes, my son David was like that. You could send him to his room. He's happy. He'd sit there on the bed all day long. You know, and it's, at that point, I knew nothing about parenting. You know, you run into these children. Nothing you do.
We try to get them.
We've done that before. The child eventually will eat.
Yeah.
Somebody was shocked. They said, you've actually sent your child to bed without food?
That would be fine.
You
want to
choose,
but you know,
if you go. That's true. They chose not to eat what was set before them.
Rob, I have a spiritual wet rag for everybody.
Okay.
What's God setting before us that we're saying no thank you to?
Which is why we want to get our children young. Okay, so what you've just done is given us universal application. Let's take it outside parenting to children and, you know, look at our own lives growing up. Were we given too many freedoms and choices growing up?
No.
You know, I mean, our children were joking around. There's not really, I guess they weren't joking, but, you know, talking about
that's
being
a yes and a no.
Latchkey, because, you know, at some point for about, you know, 20, 30 minutes, they might actually be at the house by the... I just don't think she understands the concept of latchkey kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, when Michelle has to leave before I come home and someone else picks them up for school, you know, there's that, you know, small little time lapse where they'll be too busy getting ready, you know, to have time to really get into mischief. But I grew up with probably 3 days a week where I got home and there were 3-4 hours before anybody else was home.
Yeah.
You know, so I could take it upon myself not to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be there not to know?
Mm-hmm.
Or to know, you know? Double negative. Anyway, who's going to be there that would know that I'm not there? Unless I did something to get myself into trouble, at which point they would know.
Yeah. I grew up in that same kind of environment and just had way too much freedom and made the other choice, you know, not to. And so what we were talking about it earlier, you know, it's that during that time and that development period that I realize now, tonight, as we were talking about it, how the flesh was developed through that freedom,
mm-hmm.
through those freedoms and through too many choices. And so, you know, it was just everything was rooted, as I look back, in just controlling and just manipulation, you know, that, it was
right.
USDA choice, you know, flesh patterns that, you know, I was very good at doing that. You know, I see kind of where it was stemming from, because there was no boundaries, you know?
Mm-hmm. So God gave us free will. The ability to make choices, but the thing we want to have growing up is to shape our children to understand that with every choice comes some sort of, you know, response or consequence. You know, something positive will happen or something negative will happen, but there's a response to every choice that we make. You were going to say something real quick?
Well, I was just going to make a comment that my grandmother showed me something when I was little, because when I went to church, if I needed to go to the bathroom or have a drink of water, I did before we got inside.
Mm.
And once I got inside, I knew I was sitting there until it was time to leave.
Right.
And so you take away some of those things, and the kids, their minds aren't on it because they're not going to get it anyway.
Right.
And I did the same thing. I didn't have this book, so I did the same thing with Mark and Julie, and I didn't have a problem with that.
Right.
Now, that's, I'm not saying that's everything, but you can eliminate some of these little...
Yeah, for us, you know, getting up to get a drink, that wouldn't bother me to tell them, you know, no, you can sit here, you'll be fine. The one that I always struggled with is, I really have to go to the bathroom. Do they really have to go? Do I want them to go to the bathroom in the chair? I don't know. So, I mean, that particular one, I struggled with. I'm like, okay, come right back. You know, you got a couple minutes.
I went through that with my girls, both of the girls. They knew where every bathroom and every store, I don't care how big or small a store, they had to go to the bathroom. And I said, you just went. I have to go. I said, you go in there and you don't go, you are in big trouble. But they would go every single time. I'm like, I don't know where all this stuff comes from. Because for every single store,
drinking
go
too much,
like they wouldn't have anything to drink. But, I mean, it was just, so you have to believe them. Because you can't just let them...
Right. Okay, so last question before you're this week at home, which you already know, this week at home,
you're going to set up scenarios to find out if your children are addicted to choices. But the last question is, what does it mean to be wise in your own eyes?
To do what you want to do, when you want to do it.
Okay, so that ties in. You're doing your own thing. You're right. You're making the decision to do your thing. You think that you're wise enough that you're making the right decision. You know, I really don't need your input. Thanks, though. I appreciate it. So, unfortunately, we've created that scenario. But yes, go ahead.
There's one litmus test, like Mark says, that I can do for myself is to ask God, may I do this?
That's a good one.
If I start asking him, oh, you know what, I just would automatically do this or say this, or but if I ask you first and expect an answer, you know, how willing am I to sit long enough to get an answer?
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's good homework for all of us. Because, years ago, we were taught, you know, ask the Lord before we make even the most simple of decisions. You know, like, how many times do we have, you know, change in our pocket? We don't even think about, you know, putting some money in to get a drink without asking, would it be okay if I use this money that you've given me stewardship over to get myself a drink? I mean, it's very simple, you know, and you think about it, you know, it's less than a dollar. It's just little pieces of
every day, you know.
Right.
That's right.
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 So that's good homework this week for all of us, is before we make decisions, ask the Lord, would it be okay? May I do this? Because I would say very few of us probably were raised to ask that question. May I? In fact, because you were.
Oh yeah, I would have been.
Well, this is.
I mean, I asked permission to do everything, and I was totally like submissive to my parents. I would listen to my parents, because if not, I could get the bill, or I could be like put up against the wall. Like I almost kind of like out of fear, and not my whole life, but they, you know, are alcoholics, and you know, I mean,
scared fear.
Yeah, you know, like I knew, yes ma'am, yes sir, no ma'am. I mean, that's how I answered. I still do. Anybody that's older than me, I still do that, because just have, I mean, there are some things that I took away from it that are really good things. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, I saw my mom as like in charge of the household, because my dad was away a lot with work. And you know, I reflect on that a lot with us, because sometimes I'm not so submissive. And so, you know, that's how my mom, I mean, that's what I saw. Like, my mom was in control of things. And so, in my own marriage early on, I've tried to be the same. Like, okay, I don't agree with this that you're doing, and I'm going to do it this way. And now, I wanted to share that earlier, I think it's almost sometimes like, okay, I've, you know, listened my whole life, now I want to be listened to some, you know? So I think you can go the opposite extreme, and you have to, I mean, I'm cautious of it, and I, you know, constantly ask God, okay, help me grasp it and not open my mouth too quick if I want to share something with him in front of the kids. Like, I'm working on those things, because I can be vocal maybe when I shouldn't be, you know, but I mean, he keeps showing me, but as a child, I listened to authority, and I guess I mean, God has put him, the girls and I under his authority as a spiritual leader, but I think sometimes I just view that authority as, oh, I'm under authority again, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to get under authority. So, you know, I mean, he's working with me on it over the years. I mean, it's gotten better, but especially
I would think the difference between terror and doing what you're supposed to do and reverence is willful submission.
In fact, just recently I read in Proverbs the link between reverence for God and the hardening of the heart. If you don't reverence God, your heart will begin to harden.
Absolutely.
And then there was just a connect the dot, you know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not submitting ourselves and being obedient to God, then we're pulling ourselves back, which closes off the only thing that we have to allow wisdom, which is His influence.
Well, who are we submitting to? We're not submitting to God. Who are we submitting to?
Yeah. So out of our own influence, or, you know, yielding, you know, to our enemy's influence. But, yeah, who's on the throne? Anyway, it's just, you know, another connect the dot that a lack of a reverence for God will cause your heart to begin to get hardened. And that's not a place any of us want to be. Anyway, continue if you'd like to. I need to head out. Do you want to wrap it up, or do you want to just pray?
That's up to them. They have any more discussion.
Do you guys have more you want to discuss?
Loved the lesson. I thought it was.
It was one. It
was like
I keep saying this one was the best one.
Right. I know.
It was really just very good.
Go ahead and pray then.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and pray. I'm gonna... Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your wisdom. We know that we can learn a lot from people, and we know the ones who have been influenced by your heart. Paul said that, follow me even as I follow Christ. We want to follow good examples, but we want to follow the good examples of those who have learned from you. And we do believe that the Ezos are those who have in many ways learned from you, and they're sharing what they've learned in their personal times and experiences with you. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and all that they put their heart and lives into. Just bless them and protect their families. And we just ask, Lord, that all that we're learning, whether it's things that we realize, you know, we should have done, or things that we can implement into, you know, what we're doing every day, this day going forward, you know, help it not to be anything that just rolls off as something, well, I don't need this, or, well, it's too late now. But just allow our hearts to understand that everything has an application, and timing is everything. And, you know, if your kids are growing, you have grandkids. Or if you don't have kids, there's children to influence. And we have each other, Lord. All of these have so many applications that I just pray, God, that every heart would be yielded enough to take each lesson and say, God, what do you want me to get out of this? And as each heart is yielded to you, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is going to reveal personally what each one needs to know. I thank you for your Holy Spirit working in us, helping us to will and to do after your good pleasure. We give this night to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.